subject, or certainly for most of us, not a new passage. We preached on it many different times. As we think about the Bible conference, and boy, I was blessed, and I know you were too, by Brother Stewart, the encouragement that we received from him about our Bible, and hopefully just to reinvigorate us to read your Bible, and through the encouragement of that. And also, he spoke several times as he, each point he made application, and it came up several times about as Christians, that us going on to that greater Christian life. He called it something else, and there's various names for it. Jesus said he came not to give us life, but to give us life more abundant. He came not only to give us life, but life more abundant. I'm glad that Jesus didn't stop with just giving us heaven. Amen. If that's all he gave us, that's awesome. But he gives us more than that. We can have an abundant life now. We have come through studying the attributes of God since the first of the year, or actually the end of last year, into the first of this year. And I enjoyed that study. I hope that through this study you've longed to know God more. And Jeremiah said there in Jeremiah chapter 9, he said, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, neither let the rich man glory in his riches, but him that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord." And that's what we want. It's not about whether we have knowledge or wisdom or wealth or fame. It's how do you know the Lord? How do we know the Lord? David said, remember there in Psalm 42, he said, "As the deer, as the hart, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." David longed to know God more. He wanted to know him. And then Brother Stewart brought this up there in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. We preached on it a few weeks ago on a Sunday night, where Paul said that I might know him and the fellowship of his suffering, right? That I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. And I want to know God more. I want to know him. And in knowing him, that's where this application applies to us tonight, about abiding in the vine, abiding in him, knowing him, abiding in him, and spending that time with him. John 15, verse 1, the Bible says, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Verse 4 will be kind of our main verse. I'm not going to preach on every aspect of this. We're going to give you some principles tonight. So we've preached this before and preached every verse and every little jot and tittle of it. And we'll do that again someday, no doubt. But just give you some good application tonight, I hope. Verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you." So why did he say all these things? He said all these things because that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And we actually taught a whole group of lessons a couple of years ago on that phrase, having joy. And we preached many verses on that. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you today for your wonderful Son. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for the opportunity and ability we have to abide in the vine. I pray tonight that the principle, the truth that's found here would resonate within the heart of the hearers. And Lord, that we would continue to strive and endeavor to abide in you. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here verse 4, he says, "Abide in me and I in you." I believe we have here a commandment from the Lord Jesus Christ. He commands us to abide in him. By the way, without him we can do nothing, it says. We can do nothing without him. If a branch is not connected to the vine, it's just a dead branch. Amen. Right? I years ago pruned peach trees in the winter. For a couple of years, I did that in a big peach orchard that had about 1,000 trees. And I picked peaches in the summer, and then in the winter, stayed on and cut limbs. And my first objective when going to a peach tree was to cut off the dead limbs first, and those that had died, and those who were no longer receiving sustenance from the trunk, right, from the tree itself. And I'm telling you that if we are not abiding in the Lord, we are no longer receiving sustenance from the vine. We need Him. Without Him, we could do nothing. There in verse 5, it said that. For without me, ye can do nothing. There is no life, and I capitalized that in my notes. There is no life apart from Him. There is no eternal life apart from Him. Again, I'm so thankful I'm saved, aren't you? I'm glad I have a home in heaven. I'm glad I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm glad that once I got saved, I don't lose it. Amen. I got it forever. I'm glad that no man could pluck me out of the Father's hand. No man could pluck me out of Jesus' hand. Nobody can pluck me out of the Father's hand. When He said that we have everlasting life, He meant it. Amen. I'm glad we have life, capital L-I-F-E, and that we have life eternal. It's always just boggles my mind that somebody could say you could lose your salvation when over and over again it says eternal life. I just like to point out to them, what does the term eternal mean? And do you own a Webster's Dictionary? Right? I'm being a little sarcastic, but right? I mean, it just makes sense. If He's going to use the word eternal, He means it. Everlasting, He means it. So we have life, we have eternal life. And we have no life apart from Him. But not just that eternal life, but also that spiritual life. The life here now that we live here in the flesh. I want to live it unto Christ, amen? But we do that through Him. That abundant life is found in Him. We live like trees instead of branches. We think we can handle it. We think we got it covered. You know, that no matter the storms come and the winds blow, we got it. We got this one. You got to remember that we are not trees. We are the branches. We are not the vine. We are the branches. And therefore, we cannot do it. Listen, we cannot do it on our own power. Without Him, we can do nothing. Listen, some of you worked all day today. You got up early at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, worked all day, and you slid in here with a five-layer burrito ready to go, right? I appreciate Brother Renz and Miss Renz giving me a big enough gift for my birthday. By the way, thank you for all the birthday. It was awesome. But gave me a big enough gift and wrote me a little note that said, go buy yourself a five-layer burrito. And I did. And I sent him a picture of it. I did that. It was Sunday night after church. We went all out and went to Taco Bell for supper after church Sunday night. Woo! Anybody know where I was going with that? We cannot do it. We cannot live in our own power. We are not trees. We're the branches. We are the branches. Be satisfied to be a branch. Really, I mean, just be satisfied to be a branch. Go to the Lord every morning and recognize that you're a branch. Lord, help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today. I can't do it without you. I go nearly every morning before my feet hit the floor. Nearly every, I always say nearly because you know how we are, we forget. But nearly every morning, Lord, help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today. And then I got convicted underneath one of Brother Stone's messages one time. And usually my next phrase is, Lord, help me to live in light of eternity. Lord, help me to live knowing that you might return today. We cannot live this life on our own. I'll take it back. You can. It's not very fun. And it's certainly not an abundant life if you try to live it on your own and try to be a tree. We are branches. He is the vine. We are the branches. We can abide in Him. By the way, when we abide in Him, we share some things with Him. Number one, verse 11 says we share joy. These things have I spoken to you that you might have joy, that joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. If we abide in Him, then we will experience that joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm glad I experience that joy every day. I experience the joy of the Lord every day. The joy of the Lord is my strength, right? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. How many of y'all have heard of that one before? He giveth me living water, and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And He gives us that joy. As we abide in Him, as we, and we're going to cover this in a moment, so I don't want to jump ahead, but as we abide in Him, as we gain sustenance from Him, as we gain life from Him, not just eternal life, but the life we live now, we experience joy. And I'm telling you, life was not meant to be endured. It was meant to be enjoyed. And if you're not enjoying life, then you're not living the abundant life. Marriages were meant to be enjoyed, not endured. If you're not enjoying your marriage, then you're not living the abundant life. Kids were meant to be enjoyed and not endured. We need to be living the abundant life. And we can experience that joy as we abide in Him. Number two, as we abide in Him, we share with Him His love. Verse 12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as what? I have loved you. We ought to love as He loved. And as we abide in Him, as we follow in His steps, then we do love as He loved. We can't love everyone as we love ourselves all the time without the love of Christ. The love of Christ. I so want to jump ahead. I'm not going to. Number three. Not only do we share in His joy, we share in His love, but we share in His knowledge. It says there in verse 15, henceforth I call ye you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you what? Love that. I almost thought about singing that tonight. Friend. I'm so glad I'm the friend of God. For all things that I have heard of, listen to this, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I have what? Made known unto you. Aren't you glad tonight that you have the Word of God and that God imparts to you knowledge? I'm glad He opens my eyes that I may understand the wondrous things out of His law there in Psalm 19. I'm glad when I read my Bible that I don't have to have a priest standing in front of me explaining to me what's going on. And though I have some good commentaries in my library and have some great ones, and I can pull back and pull one out and read what another man may think about a particular scripture, I'm glad I don't have to rely upon that man to understand what's found in the scripture, that the Lord will enlighten me to understand what I'm reading. Now, I'm not saying you'll understand everything. That's not what the Bible teaches. But it's certainly the Bible says He will lead you into all truth. And He'll continue to open your eyes as you abide in Him. So as you abide in Him, and I'll use the comparison, as you get closer to Him, then He will give you that knowledge. He will give you understanding in the Scriptures. So as a new Christian, understand, don't get frustrated that you don't get it. In other words, as a new Christian, don't get frustrated. I don't understand what this is saying, Pastor. I'm done. No, no, no. He will give you knowledge as you abide in Him, as you grow in Him, as you continue to receive sustenance from the vine. So we share in His knowledge. Number four, we share in His rights. His rights. There in verse 16 it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. So as we abide in Him, we can ask and receive. We can ask and receive, just as He did. That's what it says, right? We share in His rights. I love Brother Stewart. He said it again. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus Christ is our elder brother. And in the truest sense, in the biblical sense, He is our elder brother. And we are partakers with Him. We are joint heirs with Him. Think about that for a second. My dad lives on a farm in Oklahoma. Most of you, I tell tons of stories about the farm. I hope you don't get tired of it. If you do, it's okay anyway. We got new people that never heard the stories. So my parents live on the farm in Oklahoma. It's about 90 acres. It's not huge, but 90 acres. Has a couple of houses. Has the old farmhouse, typical old farmhouse that was built. Really, that one was built around the Depression or before the Depression. Anyway, and so one day, one day my dad, God forbid, is going to pass away. One day, that means that farm, because my dad's an only child, one day it's going to be passed on to me. And I have an older brother who's 4 years older than me. And I'll just beat him out of his part. Hi, older brother. No, but we'll both inherit it. We are joint heirs. Me and my brother are joint heirs. We're going to receive that property together. Don't ever forget that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are brothers and sisters. He's our elder brother. What rights he has, we have.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm glad we preached on here a few weeks ago about being citizens of heaven already from Philippians chapter, there in chapter 3 in verse 20 and 21. My citizenship's in heaven. I'm living in Christ, you see. I'm already on the side, waiting for my body to be. Songs constantly go through my mind. It's terrible. Being raised in church, it's the curse of being raised in church. All these songs that you learn as a kid. I'm chasing a rabbit. It's okay, though. How many of y'all heard the song, I am a promise, I am a possibility, I am a promise, with a capital P? How many of y'all who were raised with that can still sing every little word to it? Isn't that sad? But I can't remember my own phone number. But we have all the rights of Jesus. We share in those rights. As we abide in Him, we share His joy, we share His love, we share His knowledge, we share those rights. And verse 20, look at verse 20, chapter 15. Remember the word that I have said unto you, the servant is no greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Remember, we love all the great things, but we also oftentimes don't want to think about that we also share in his persecution. If they hated me, he said, they'll hate you. Well, we live in that day, don't we? Today, a chaplain in the Navy stands up for what's right morally and loses his job after 19 years. Just happened. Stands up against immorality and preaches what the Bible says concerning fornication, adultery, and homosexuality, and loses his job. And that was his only crime in our armed forces. Don't think we're not being persecuted. We are. I know that in comparison to what's going on in Iraq and what's going on in Syria, that's a small price to pay when people in Syria and these areas are giving their lives for being Christians. Though they may not be our stripe of Christian, but they are giving their lives for that name. Just remember that as we go forward. We know we're living the last days. We know we are. And persecution is going to get greater and greater. Unless a revival happens, it is. Oh, Mr. Obama continues to put, I just don't get it. How in the world you can ever put homosexuality on the same plane as the color of skin is beyond me. You cannot change the color of your skin. But someone who is a homosexual is not born by birth. And I want to, again, you say, well, preacher, that's your opinion. That's Bible. That's not me. That's Bible. I'm not saying they can't have same-sex attraction, which, you know, all those things can be there. But man, he just did that march. When they had that march, he again said that the next civil rights issue is going to be homosexuality. Get ready, guys. Because once they put it on that plane, then we become the bigots, just as those in the South were bigots. Rightly so then, for their racism. But to put Christians who believe in righteousness and morality on that same plane is ridiculous. In this world you shall... Listen, we're going to have it. Jesus said, they hated you, they'll hate me. They persecuted me, they'll persecute you. And they will, and they have, and they are. And certainly it's maybe in a small ember right now, but unless something changes, it's going to be a flaming fire. I again remind you to play for the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court next month, I believe, is going to be arguing the case. and will make a decision in June. Pray for them. Amen. Pray for that they'll stand up for righteousness and holiness. Pray that they'll stand up for the founding fathers' principles of Judeo-Christian ethics. Pray for them. I needed to rant a little bit. Felt better about the whole thing. He said, and we love the joy, we love the love, we love the knowledge, we love the rights as brothers and sisters in Christ. But also with that comes persecution as well. And we must remember that we share in His persecution. Number six, we share in His work. We share in His work. Verse 26 and 27 of that chapter. But when the Comforter is come, when I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth forth from the Father, He shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. You shall what? Bear witness. And you can go throughout here, throughout the entire chapter, talking about bearing fruit, bearing witness. We share in the work. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're sharing in the work of reaching the world for Jesus Christ, of baptizing believers and discipling them. That's the Great Commission. And we share in that work. That's what Christ came to do. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to give His life. He came that He might rise again from the dead. Amen? We share in His work. Lastly, we share in His glory. Look over, I know we're going to have to go over a chapter. Look over chapter 17, verse 22. And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have what? I'm sorry, I got over there pretty quick. Look at verse 22, chapter 17. And the glory which Thou hast given gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. We share also in His glory. I hope that we are, as we demonstrate Him, we demonstrate His glory. We demonstrate who He is. As we follow in His steps, we demonstrate who He is. We illustrate for the world around us who Jesus is. We're the only Jesus some will ever see. Amen? We share in the glory. As we think about, we are commanded, back to chapter 15 and verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you. We are commanded to abide in Him. And with that, we understand that to be abide in Him means that we can do nothing without Him. That we are the branches and not the vine. We understand through that commandment that we are to abide in Him, that in that we share some things with Him. We share the joy. We share the knowledge. We share the rights. We also share the persecution. But also we understand that if we abide in Him, as we're biblically taught to do, that we surrender ourselves to Him. That we surrender ourselves to Him. That we yield to Him. If we're abiding in Him, that means we are surrendered to Him. If we abide in Him, then we are yielded to Him. Listen, if we abide in Him, and I in you, then we are fully giving ourselves over to His purpose in our life. Amen. If we are to experience the joy and the love and the knowledge and all these things, and we only do that by abiding in Him, it also means that we are surrendered to Him. And He will, and He must. We must be fully surrendered to His will. The branch exists for the tree. That's another whole sermon. That's where the leaves are. Without Him, we can do nothing. Amen? We are commanded to abide in Him. Then we think about the picture of the vine, and it helps us to understand how we are to abide. So if we are to abide in Him, then how are we to do that? We are to do that, and you know these. I mean, if you've been in church very long, you know these. We abide in Him by prayer and Bible reading. We abide in Him by having a close relationship with Him. I read an illustration of this. It says that prayer and Bible reading are the cord that binds us to Him. And what happens is, as time goes on, the cord loosens. The cord gets weathered, right? Life loosens the cord. And we have to continually draw to Him. We have to continually abide in Him. In other words, we used this same illustration Sunday night. The daily grind of life, the continuous pressure of life, the continuous pressure of life will have us to move away from God. Everybody with me? Remember we talked about Sunday night that we are to stand firm. How are we to stand firm? In the Lord. Well, to be in the Lord or to abide in the vine, we have to be careful and cautious because just the daily grind of life is a continual pressure. Some of you feel it every day, that continual pressure. And if you're not careful, it will draw you away from the vine. Number two, we talked about the sudden assaults. Those things that come into our life, whether it's a death in the family or a health problem, those things also have a tendency to get us away from our fellowship with the Lord. And then sometimes our own fluctuating feelings. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And just the ups and downs of our own feelings can draw us away from the Lord. And we need to be careful of these things. Understanding that abide in Him, we share in all these great things as we abide in Him, but we must abide. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day." So how are we to abide in the vine? How are we to fellowship with Him day by day? The outward man will perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. How are we to be renewed when the daily grind of life is pounding against us in the just continuous pressure? How are we to be renewed when there's sudden assaults on our life and on our health and on our family? How are we to be renewed when we go through the typical ups and downs of fluctuating feelings? How are we to be renewed? Day by day. How? By studying the Word of God, that the Word of God be manifested in us and so forth. Luke chapter 9 verse 23 says, "Let him deny himself and take up his cross," what? "Daily and follow me." In other words, abiding in the vine is having that daily walk with the Lord. Amen. Christianity is a relationship, not a religion, not a set of rules. And that relationship is a daily one. Amen. See, we like to turn over a new leaf every year on the 1st of January. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we as Christians can start over every day. Hang on, I'll even rephrase that. The Bible refers to us as starting over every day, that we ought to. "Take up thy cross daily and follow me." The inward man is renewed day by day. The more consistent you are in your devotional life, the more consistent you are in your prayer life, the closer you walk with Jesus. I decided to start working out again. I've kind of been laying off the last 4 or 5 months. Now, I've worked out some, but not consistently. And therefore, things are beginning to... Anyway, problems are happening. Stuff ain't fitting very good anymore. So, and I enjoy working out. So I joined a boot camp. I'm kind of that way. That's how I roll. So I joined a boot camp. And I went a time or two. And then I promised to come again. You know what I'm saying? And then so my trainer texts me today and says, "We need to figure out a way to get you more, what? Consistent." I said, "Good luck." No, and I know that's it. When I was working out the last year and a half, before the last 4 or 5 months, and I got off a little bit, it's staying consistent. And as long as I'm consistent, I'm feeling better, I'm losing weight, I'm stronger, I can walk up and down these stairs without breathing hard, and all those things, because I've been consistent. I've been working out probably averaging once a week, but just working out once a week will not make the changes and make the difference in this physical body that I need. I'm going to have to be more consistent. And the Christian life is the same way. We need to be more consistent. We need to be more consistent. If you want that joy unspeakable and full of glory, if you want that rest and that comfort and all the things we receive, that we receive from the Lord when we abide in Him, then you've got to be consistent. I'm not saying that you can't miss a day or two. Please don't go home and say, "The preacher said I've got to read my Bible and pray every day or God's going to judge me." I never said that. I don't believe in performance-based Christianity. I don't think you've got to do bang, 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 and God will bless you. I do think you need to be consistent. I don't believe that if you miss a day, God will send a lightning bolt down and strike you dead. But I do believe you need to be more consistent. Have I said that yet? We need to be consistent. We need to be, if you're going to abide in the vine, be consistent. You say, preacher, I went to the Bible conference. I got excited, but I found myself 3 days later and I didn't read my Bible. Well, pick it up tomorrow. Take up thy cross daily and follow me. The inward man is renewed day by day. Christianity is not a week process. It's not a monthly process. It's a daily process. And by the way, that's a good thing. It means our slate can be cleaned every day. We don't have to wait till January 1st to do it. Do it today. Christianity is a relationship. You can start over every day. It's a daily one. We need to understand that to abide in the vine means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Not just salvation. I'm not even talking about that. That's given tonight. You can't abide in the vine unless you're saved. Because you haven't even been placed in the vine. You need to know Jesus Christ, your Savior. And I hope if you're here tonight, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you are saved tonight, you must understand that you need a consistent walk. In order to experience that abundant life, you need a consistent walk. In order to experience that consistent fellowship requires putting away a few things too. In other words, it don't just require us to be consistent in our fellowship with Him as far as our Bible reading and prayer and, you know that, and church attendance and giving and telling others of Jesus, but it also requires us to put away a few things. And many times we are not abiding in the Lord because we have sin in our life. And whatever comes between us and Christ is sin. And sin hinders our fellowship with Him. It weakens our faith. It hinders, listen to this, it hinders our desire for fellowship with Him. Notice what it said. I said, it hinders the desire. It hinders that desire that we should have. I did not eat supper tonight. I'm hungry. I have a desire to go to Five Guys Burgers after we're done here tonight. And that's what I plan on doing unless the Lord hinders me. I have a desire, strong desire. But if my stomach hurt and I was a little nauseated, my desire would be weakened. And I'm telling you, when you allow sin in your life, you allow unhealthy things in your life, and I'm talking about your spiritual life, not your physical life. When you allow those things in your life, man, it will weaken that desire to want to read your Bible. Sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. I learned that when I was 6 years old. And it's a true principle from the Word of God. So we need to be careful. So to abide in the vine is not simply meaning that we read our Bibles and pray every day, but it also means we gotta watch out for the sin that's in our life and root it out. Ask for forgiveness. We must draw by faith upon Him every day, because without Him we could do nothing. By the way, without Him we could do nothing, but with Him all things are possible, the Bible says. So we can. I'm careful as a Baptist preacher not to always talk about the negative. The positive is we can do all things. All things are possible with Him. I'm so glad we are more than conquerors through Him. We don't have to live a joyless life. We don't have to live a defeated life. We can live a life of joy and blessings. The results of abiding are all throughout chapter 15. You can go home and read it again. We don't have time, but you read the whole chapter over and over again, and you find the results of abiding in Christ is what? Fruit. Fruit. The fruit that is produced in one's life is, number one, the fruit of character. The fruit of holiness. The fruit of righteousness. In other words, it's taking darkness to light. Amen. The fruit of abiding in the vine is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness. Amen? And if we are abiding in Him, we will exhibit this fruit. Fruit. It means we'll be patient. I'll go back to my Sunday's message. Right? It means we'll be long-suffering. That's how love's exhibited, right? It means we'll be kind. Those things. In other words, that fruit will be demonstrated in our life. Amen. Results in contentment and rest. It results, I'm not talking about rest like sleeping rest. I'm talking about just that God-given contentment. I'm glad that I have contentment tonight. I don't always experience it, but tonight I'm experiencing it. And I have, I can't tell you the last time I wasn't pretty content. But when things are right with the Lord, I am so content with where God's put me in life, with pastoring, with family, with friends. I mean, just content. It's awesome. It's awesome. He talks about that in Hebrews. There is a rest. As a Christian, you can enter. And that's not talking about heaven. That's talking about rest now. Rest. Results in contentment. People living in fear and loneliness and concern are not abiding in the Lord. By the way, when you abide in Him, all that diminishes. And for some, goes away. It's a wonderful, wonderful state to live in. It is the abundant life. The results of abiding is power. The results of abiding in the Lord is power. Power, enabling. It's that filling of the Spirit that enables us to live forth the Christian life. It's that God-given grace. I will remind you tonight that God, reading your Bible and praying every day does not necessarily make you holy. Reading your Bible, praying every day, and walking through these steps does not necessarily make you more spiritual. All it does is put you in a position where God can make you spiritual. Listen closely now. Just going through the Baptist points and saying, this is how you live the Christian life, does not make you spiritual. It can make you a Pharisee. It can make you a Sadducee. Right? But it can put you in a position. It will. That's not even the right word to say. It will put you in a position where God can make you spiritual. In other words, the greater Christian life is not earned. It's given. It's given. It's given if, look there with me, look at chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me. See, it's given if you abide. So don't think the abundant life is not conditional. It is. But when you do line up and you do all these things and you do what's right, and by the way, that's the greatest way to live. Then the Lord will bless you in a mighty way. I'm just telling you, if. You ought to circle the word if in John 15, verse 7. The promise is conditional. I don't have time to talk about some of the other things, but think about this for a moment. The comparisons. Vine and branch. He is the vine, we are the branch. He is the head, we are the body. The body don't do nothing without the head. You know, the hand just obeys what I tell it to do, right? The head tells it to do. The foundation, the building. He is the foundation, we're the building. All these comparisons the Bible gives us to indicate to us that without Him we are nothing. We need Him. We are the branches. Small, yes. But with Him, useful. Amen. Spurgeon said this. He said, When every word of His is precious to us, and when we strive to live according to His word, then we know that we are abiding in Him. It's pretty simplistic though, but so true. Is the word precious to you? Are you striving to live according to the book? Then you know you're abiding in the Lord. Let's all stand. Abide in me, and I in you is a command. I hope that you are striving to abide in Him. And it takes some consistency in your daily walk with Him. By the way, it's a daily walk, not a weekly walk, not a monthly walk, but a daily walk. And then understanding the results of that daily walk, that results of abiding the vine, will be fruit. Fruit of character, that's that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. And, I didn't even touch on this one, the fruit of souls. You cannot abide in the vine without telling somebody about Jesus. I'm telling you, if you're abiding in the vine, you will be a witness for Him. It is the natural expression of abiding in the vine. Tell somebody about Jesus. Lead somebody to the Lord, because that's what Jesus would do. Amen. Lord, we thank You for this time we've had to be reminded of abiding in You. And I pray that each of us would strive this week in a greater way to abide in You, to take up the cross daily and follow You. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 534, cleanse me. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. thoughts.
I pray, see if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
What a true song.
I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within.
With
fire,
where once I burned with shame.
Where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name.
Let me sing another song. One more verse.
Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my
song.
My passion, self, and pride, I now surrender, Lord, in me.
Abide. Amen. Please be seated. Appreciate you tonight. We'll take some prayer requests.